In the name of the Father, and the Son, Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Today, the Lord, again, as we said, the theme of the Holy 50 days readings, the Sundays, is the Lord defining himself to us. And as we said before, in the third Sun, the second Sunday, he is telling us that he is the bread of life. And after this, he comes and said to us, I am the living water. Last week, we heard him saying to us that I am the light of the world. Today, we hear him saying that I am the way, the truth, and the life. But today, if you ask someone, what is the truth, where is the truth, everyone is going to point to a different direction. The truth today became something very relative because the people now are subjecting facts of faith to the same rules as science. What is the meaning of that? In science, there is something new every day. And what is today discovered or invented will make everything behind that day to be abandoned and the history. But this is not actually the case when we come to the truth. When we come to the facts of faith, there is no update to the facts of faith. There is no change or revisions, or this is the latest version of what is the truth is. This should not be the case. Let us go and review the scripture and see how the scripture is telling us so. This fact that facts of faith are not subject to change or revision. The first evidence, we find it in the epistle of St. Jude. It's one chapter, and in this chapter, St. Jude was actually writing it to tell us so, that you should not be giving your ears to what the people who come and say, this is the latest, this is the update. You know something? You were wrong. Let me tell you something. This is the truth. He said to us, beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. So facts of faith are delivered once and for all. What we received, we keep because it was delivered once and for all. When somebody come in the 19th or the 18th century and say, you know something, there is a new book to be added to the scripture. You know something, I was inspired, again, the word of God, to tell you something that you should be added to your belief system. We cannot believe that. How can we reconcile this with what St. Jude was saying, that facts of faith were delivered or given, was once and for all delivered to the saints? The second evidence, we get it from St. Paul. St. Paul, after he preached it to us, facts of faith, he closed it and sealed it. He anathematized, or actually excommunicated, anyone who might come later and update the faith that we believe in. Up to the degree that he said this, but even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. St. Paul, inspired with the Spirit of God, was able and bold enough even to excommunicate angels if they would come and preach to us something we did not hear it before, that church didn't believe at before, that church did not live what now the people are coming and say, this is the new version of faith. He said, if an angel of heaven will come to you and say something new, let him be accursed, let him be excommunicated. If it is up to us to come today and say, there is something, some changes. You know something? You lived for 16th century believing that what is here is the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I have a surprise for you. It is not. Then actually here, let us hear and heed St. Paul saying, how difficult is this saying? How difficult this? He excommunicated all those people who will come and change the teaching. The third evidence, by St. Paul himself. This man, the Lord Christ appeared to him, and he handed him all the facts of faith and all the teaching. But look at the humility of St. Paul. He said this story in his epistle to the Galatians. And I went up by revelation and communicated to them, referring to the apostles, that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to those who were of reputation, lest by any means I might run or had run in vain. What is the meaning of this? He found it reasonable and important to go back to the apostles and ask them, this is what I am preaching. Do you approve this? St. Paul, he was not in need to do that. The Lord Christ appeared to him and spoke to him face to face. But in his humility, he went backward and asked the apostles, lest he might be preaching and running in vain. I am amazed at the people who come now and say, you know something, forget about the past. We will start new from now. The Holy Spirit is for all of us. The interpretation of the scripture is open for any believer. It's the same Spirit. Where is the humility here? Where is the teaching of the apostles? Forget, it was good for them. This was good for their era. Now we are a new age with new facts of faith. It cannot be so, my brethren. If St. Paul found it fitting to go and review his teaching, how ought for all of us now to go and examine our belief based against the belief of the apostles? The fourth evidence, we hear it from St. Paul entrusting the facts of faith to his disciple Timothy. He said to him, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. What is the meaning of it? The meaning here is, what we received as is, I will communicate it to you so you will keep it and you'll entrust it over to other faithful men who will teach it as is. He didn't say to Timothy, you know something, Timothy? I give you this teaching now, and it's up to you to think about it and see if it fits your people. And if you want to make any amendments or a change, keep me posted. Just write a CC for me. This is not the case. Facts of faith are not subject to this. What you heard from me, word by word, you will keep it and you will deliver it to those people who are faithful to keep it and to teach it as you received it. Again, St. Paul is warning the people of Thessalonica, saying to them, but we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the tradition which he received from us. He is warning that we should withdraw from every brother who would go disorderly and not according to the tradition which he received from us. A very nice book by one of the Orthodox fathers called Peter Gilchrist. The name of the book is Becoming Orthodox. He spoke in one of the chapters about the T word. You know, when somebody says about a word by its first letter, means it's a bad word. And the T word was tradition. Because this is something that people come and corner our children saying, you are a traditional church, okay, then, okay, good for you. Here, St. Paul is saying that we should withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly, not according to the tradition that we received from our fathers, apostles. It is very clear, my brethren, that it is not up to us to make any changes. It is not something up to the science and the experience. And we come in this age and say, there is new facts of faith. It is one truth was communicated to the apostles, and we still receive it, and we should give it as is to the people who come after us. The fifth evidence is when the Lord said that you have one teacher. The people in the Reformation, belonging to the Reformation Church, they come to us and say, you know something, you made yourselves teachers. You are teachers. You took the place of Christ. But actually, let us go and examine this. St. Paul said about the bishop who is to be elected as a bishop or chosen, he should be able to teach. What is the meaning here? He should be a teacher. But what is exactly not to be called the teacher? The teacher is the man who has the curriculum. He is the one who is going to communicate new teaching. That is the teacher. That is why Christ is our teacher. All the people who come after him, our fathers, the apostles, all the bishops and the priests in the church, they are just messengers, communicators of the teaching of Christ. But when somebody come and say, you know something, salvation, you can attain it without doing anything, and you don't need even to be baptized, this is not the bread, this is not the body and the blood, and I will turn what you received before upside down and tell you that everything before was in vain. This is a new teaching. The person who come and say so is a teacher. Because we have only one teacher, who is Christ, whom we received his teaching from the apostles, then we cannot adopt and embrace any new teaching or update version of the facts of faith. The last evidence is given to us in the Old Testament. In this very nice book, the Song of Songs, we hear this dialogue between the groom and the bride. The bride is all of us, the Church of Christ. And the bride asked her groom, "If I don't know the way, where should I go?" This question actually could be asked by many people now. If I don't know the way, if I don't know what exactly I should be doing, where is the church? What I should be doing? Then the groom is answering here and saying, "If you do not know, O fairest among women, follow in the footsteps of the flock." Follow in the footsteps of the flock. It is this footsteps that we are following. When somebody come and say, "Why your faith is the right one?" This is arrogance. When you come and say, "This is the right teaching," this is arrogance. Actually, we are not claiming that we have a school, we have our own dogma, and this is what you should be following. Actually, my brethren, we are following the footsteps of the flock. We are following the teaching of this church that was one, holy, apostolic church. This is the footsteps of the people whom we should be following. As St. Paul made it very clear to St. Timothy, "I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the foundation or the ground of the truth." So the truth is in the church. Which church? Go and follow the church of the apostles. Go and review the teaching of the fathers. Go backward and see how those people conducted themselves. What did they believe? It cannot be, my brethren, that today we have a faith which is different than the people who came before us. Facts of faith are not science. The truth is not subject for inventions or discoveries or somebody come and say, "You know something, they were wrong. Let me update what you believe in." Today the Lord is saying to us, "I am the way, the truth, the life." He didn't make it this, "I am a way or a kind of truth or a form of a life." It was not and it will never be. There is only one way that the Lord gave it to us that is hidden and proclaimed to us every day in the Church of God, the pillar and the foundation of the truth. Glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.